Today's scripture reading comes from Micah, chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore, it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob, and chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equality, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price, its prophets give oracles for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, "Surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us." Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. Here ends today's reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we thank you for your presence here today. We ask that you give us a word that we need to hear. And I ask that the words from my mouth and the meditations from all of our hearts and minds would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the announcements I failed to make this morning is that today is Reformation Day. You may have noticed in your bulletins, it's the 594th anniversary of Martin Luther hammering the 95 Theses to the door in Wittenberg. That anniversary falls tomorrow, so that will factor into the sermon as it has in many of the songs and the prayers. As best we can ascertain, Micah was a prophet during the 8th century BCE, around the time of the Neo-Assyrian crisis when Samaria, the capital city of Israel, was destroyed, Jerusalem was besieged, thousands were slain, and many more were taken captive. Why had such a tragedy of epic proportions occurred, befallen Israel and Judah? According to Micah, Israel was actually acting on God's behalf, disciplining the people for enacting a style of social and economic development that worked against the very basic ethical and religious norms that they were supposedly living by. As larger estates were being created, it was increasingly difficult to provide for economic justice. People's lands were being taken away, high interest rates made it difficult to retain financial independence, and debt slavery was rampant. Does that sound at all familiar? Both individuals and social structures were held responsible. And not just the garden variety political figures and landlords, but as we hear in today's text, prophets as well. You see, in that time, there were many, many seers who claimed to speak for God. Not just Micah and Isaiah, but other individuals who were paid for their efforts and just so happened to deliver precisely what their patrons wanted to hear: consistently good news. It was only when those predictions failed to come true that their true identities as false prophets were revealed. Micah, on the other hand, could proclaim his credentials because not only did he prophesy for free, but he spoke the painful, unvarnished truth to his people. He named their sins and predicted their demise, and presumably he didn't win any popularity contests in the process. It's a lonely vocation, if ever there was one. We could use a Micah in our midst today, and certainly the Occupy Wall Street and other spin-off protests around the world are somewhat filling that void. Yet presidential candidates and many other politicians still seem deaf to their cries. They just keep on pushing policies that shelter wealthy individuals and corporations while putting more and more financial burden on the poor and the middle class, driving a bigger and bigger wedge between the haves and the have-nots, threatening the most basic of safety nets. And this with things already extremely bad. A report released on Thursday by the Bertelsmann Stiftung Foundation ranked the United States at 26 out of 30 on a social justice scale that was based on national poverty, equity, education, health, and intergenerational justice statistics. Only Greece, Chile, Mexico, and Turkey fared worse than the United States in this ranking. To add insult to injury, the same day the New York Times published this report, it also carried an op-ed piece that was reported on a 2010 Halloween party thrown by the largest U.S. law firm in the country specializing in foreclosing mortgages. Photos supplied by an anonymous former employee included one in which two of the party growers are dressed like homeless people. One holds a bottle of liquor. The other has a sign around her neck that reads, "Third party squatter. I lost my home and I was never served." The source said that "I was never served" was meant to mock the typical excuse of the homeowner trying to evade a foreclosure proceeding. Shameless. Nevertheless, despite all this evidence that something is very, very wrong with our country, politicians want to be elected and then reelected, and corporate America and the wealthy foot the bill for the bulk of their campaign budgets. They want also to be liked by their colleagues and constituents who scream the loudest, so there is peer pressure in play as well. People are being outrageous, but not in ways that upset the status quo or do anything to advance the cause of the so-called 99%. Who then is in a position to speak the truth and be heard? I would like to think that the church and other religious institutions are, but even here we encounter some of the same issues. Clergy are financially dependent upon the salaries and benefits our congregations pay us. Most of us are not tent makers like Paul was, nor do we travel around the country on foot depending upon the kindness of strangers to feed and shelter us as Jesus did. Plus, we've got separation of church and state issues to contend with. Basically, we're not in a position to alienate people overly much. So how about you lay people? I know many of you have spoken out or written out boldly about local and some broader social issues, and I commend you for that. But I know that, like those of you who are still working and also dependent upon your salaries, there are pressures not to be too outrageous. And this is a small town. If you raise your voices too loudly, your bosses are likely to hear about it. We're all part of community networks we rely upon for friendship and support of our various causes. We need people, even people with whom we strongly disagree. And we're not looking to make ourselves into targets for vandalism or graffiti either. Yet silence, it can look like agreement, or even complicity. Let's face it, on the whole, the church is nowhere near as edgy as it once was. And I'm not just talking about the early church and all the martyrs it produced. How about the Protestant Reformation Martin Luther initiated almost 500 years ago? How about the relatively recent civil rights era? To what extent has the Christian church become just another social institution, and sometimes an irrelevant one at that? I am very, very proud of the bold social stances our denomination, our National Office of the United Church of Christ has taken over the years. But we as a denomination are rapidly sinking, shrinking in size, and I'm honestly uncertain how loudly our collective voice is being heard outside of our sanctuaries and the national office. Sometimes it can honestly feel like we're just preaching to the choir. And even at that, there are many potential choir members who do not even darken our doorways. Some because they equate Christianity with something other than progressiveness. Others because they see our social stances, but not our faith. And still others because they have not a clue what we stand for. Either that, or they've confused us with the Church of Christ on West Division Street. Something's got to give. Many people from some very diverse theological corners are calling for a 21st century re-reformation. Evangelicals and mainline Christians alike. Some are responding by producing unconventional emerging and emergent style worship services. Some of which take place in homes or even online, rather than in an actual church building. Some of which are led by ordained ministers and some that are not. Some are devoting large portions of their buildings to community service. There are endless possibilities. The key to all of this is that Christianity, a faith solidly rooted in resurrection and transformation, must itself remain open to change. We are empowered to adapt to our particular contexts and to whatever the current needs and circumstances might be. Remarkably or not, it was the Reformed churches, the very early Reformed churches, that coined the phrase, "the church reformed, but always needing to be reformed." Or what one Baptist theologian, A.J. Conyers, called correcting the correction. This may simply mean bringing new sources of inspiration to worship, and not necessarily PowerPoint and praise music. It may well be something far tamer and quieter, something closer to what has been called ancient future worship. Or it may mean something more radical, like experimenting with alternative church structures like the emergent church, the emerging church, that take us outside or bring our neighbors in need within our four walls. Or perhaps at this point in time, it's more about getting ever clearer about how God is moving among us and how we are being called to respond to that movement. Whatever it is, it will require us to be open-minded, open-hearted, and willing to take risks, to overcome meekness, and in the words of Martin Luther, sin boldly, to say with Micah, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, with justice and might." For as Episcopal priest Matthew Fox stated in his 95 Articles of Faith for Christianity in the third millennium, all are called to be prophets, which is to interfere with injustice. Amen.